In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In my secular job, a big part of what I do is negotiate child support orders between the parents of the children that are on a particular case. One time, I was in court, and I was negotiating with this couple before they would go in front of the judge, if they needed to, if they didn't agree. And this couple had the child before either one of them were adults. They had just finally reached the age where they both could represent themselves in court, and their immaturity was on display in terms of the way they were treating each other, especially the father. The father continuously throughout the whole course of the negotiation kept referring to the mother of his child in the most derogatory terms, disparaging her character. I won't use the words because it wouldn't be fit to speak these words in church, but suffice it to say that they were a string of profanities and expletives from one end to the next. And this is a more extreme case than I usually encounter, but I often run into couples where they will start, because they haven't seen each other maybe for a long time, they'll start taking it out on each other and making derogatory comments. So I have certain things that I say to try to get them to think about what they're doing and hopefully to stop. And so I said to the man, I said, you know, she's the mother of your son. And think about what you would think if someone was talking to your mother the way that you're talking to his mother. Usually, that's all I need to say. It wasn't sufficient in this guy's case. And he kept going on and on. And at a certain point, I kind of reiterated that same point, but talked about it a little bit more. He had mentioned that he, something about going to church. And so I started talking to him about what the Bible has to say. It said, you know, the Bible says that you have to love your enemies, and even if she's your enemy, you still have to love her, and after all, she is the mother of your child. And at one point he said, it's a good thing I'm a Christian, because if I wasn't a Christian, I would blankety-blank, you know, that blankety-blank-blank-blank, and just went on and started saying basically the same kind of thing. Well, in the first epistle reading, and also in the epistle reading for Friday, St. Paul talks about the fact that we as Christians have to actually behave differently from everybody else. We can't engage in that kind of profanity. We can't abuse other people. We can't behave in unchristian ways and then still say, it's a good thing that I'm a Christian. Because if you're behaving in an unchristian way, then you need to become a Christian. You need to start acting like a Christian. In the Friday reading from Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 17, St. Paul says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." He was speaking to people who were relatively recent converts, many of them to the Christian faith, and he was trying to advise them that they needed to be different than those that were around them. But when he talks about the Gentiles walking in the vanity of their mind, what does that mean? The fathers say that their minds were vain because they chose to focus on the things that were vain. They were focusing on frivolous things. You've probably seen on YouTube one or more of these videos where you've got someone who will find these people on the street, and in some cases they'll ask them questions about pop culture, and they'll nail every question because they're very much in tune with what's going on in pop culture. But then they'll ask them questions like, who's the president of the United States? Usually they'll get that one. Who's the vice president? Very few of them get that. And they start asking questions about how the government works, or they'll ask them questions, basic questions about the history of our country or the history of the world. And these people are totally clueless. And when they ask them about contemporary events, they're not paying any attention. But if you ask them about Kim Kardashian or Beyonce, they're very much in tune to that because that's what they're focused on. Well, if you were to take these same people and to ask them about spiritual questions, I think that you would see that they were even more ignorant of spiritual things. And that's because their minds are vain. They're only focused on things that have absolutely no eternal meaning whatsoever, but this is what consumes their whole life. You might ask, well, what's the reason for their ignorance? Are they just victims of circumstance? Is it beyond their control? Well, St. Paul says in verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. So the ignorance that is in them is not just something that happened to them and they had no control over it. It's because their hearts were hardened. They had closed their hearts to God. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, St. Paul says, "Because although they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened." Their hardness of heart is a choice. They choose to close their minds to God, and as a result of that, they're alienated from the life of God, and their hearts are darkened and hardened. In verse 19, he says, "Who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." Most people begin their lives with some sense of shame, and they'll try to conceal their sin. But when their hearts are darkened, and they come to a point where they cease to care what other people think, and they're only focused on satisfying their desires. Their whole life is focused on living for themselves. And that's what St. Paul is talking about here. He's talking about people who are openly immoral. Some extreme examples that we could see on our own streets are people who are drug addicts. Maybe at first when they started doing drugs, they hid it from everybody else, nobody noticed. But their drug addiction reaches such a point that they're homeless and they're on the street and they're openly begging anyone for money so they can buy drugs and have no shame whatsoever. We also in our culture have a number of people who have given themselves over to all kinds of perversion, and whereas at one time such people would have tried to have kept that knowledge from other people, now they're openly proclaiming their immorality in the streets. And they want everyone to know about it because that's their whole life. That's their whole focus. They're defined, or they're defining themselves, by their sin. But in verse 20, St. Paul says, "But ye have not so learned Christ." This kind of living, being focused on yourself, being focused on the frivolous, turning your attention away from the things of God to the momentary pleasures of this world, this is not compatible with being a Christian. St. Peter wrote in his first epistle, chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you." And St. Paul's point is, to be a Christian is to turn away from these things. And to be a Christian, in our culture especially, often means that when other people are wanting to lead you in the direction of these kinds of sins, that you have to be prepared to say no, and you have to be prepared to endure their ridicule when you say no. But after saying, "But ye have not so learned Christ," in verse 21, he says, "If indeed ye have heard him and have been taught of him." And he wouldn't have said this if it was not the case that there were some people in that church and in other churches who were pretending to have heard what Christ had taught and been taught by him, but were engaged in the kinds of sins that St. Paul is talking about. So when we read all this, we should ask ourselves, am I such a person? Am I engaged in these kinds of sin? Am I living for the world? Is my focus on the things of God, or is it on the things of this world that are momentary and passing and will have no eternal significance? If you've indeed been taught by Christ, you'll cease to live the vainly minded life that St. Paul's talking about. And he goes on, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We have to seek to renew our mind, to have a new heart that is not hardened and blinded. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, St. Paul says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We have to consciously refuse to go along with everyone else. We have to consciously make a choice that we're not going to fit in with the standards of those that are around us who are unbelievers. And we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And how can our minds be renewed? First off, we have to repent, and by doing so, make way for the grace of the Holy Spirit. But we also have to focus our minds on the things of God. There's the proverb, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so, as St. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now ask yourself, when you consider what you spend your time doing, particularly when it comes to entertainment, when you're doing those things, are you thinking on whatsoever things are honest, true, virtuous, good, and beautiful, or are you focusing on things that are ugly, shameful, sinful, and contrary to the teachings of the scriptures? And you have to be honest with yourself, and you have to ask yourself, do I really want to be a Christian, number one? And if I do want to be a Christian, am I prepared to give up those things in my life that I may find pleasure in, but which I know are contrary to what God would have me to do? And if you want to be a Christian, you have to answer that question in the affirmative and to do that. And it's easier said than done, but it's something that you have to strive to do. And in verse 24, he says, and that you put on the new man, which after the likeness of God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And how do we put on the new man, which is the new life in Christ? If we repent and open up our hearts to God's grace and turn our minds to the things of God so that we can inform our consciences and then begin to work on living out that life, which we are taught from Christ and we've heard from him, we become a new man, a new creation, created after the likeness of God in righteousness and true holiness. As it says in 2 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen.